Welcome to Pivot to Prosperity, the podcast to help you work less and make more money, sponsored by Pivotal Real Estate Investments. We will show you how you can build wealth and income while improving communities through commercial real estate, like apartments, self-storage facilities, medical offices, and more without demanding much time. How's that sound? I am your host, Jenny Bowling, and I've been in real estate for 40 years, bought hundreds of properties for government and other clients. My fellow government workers and clients will likely find this very powerful information. When I learned how easy it is these days to own commercial property with all the tax benefits and wealth building attributes without the big money requirements, that was pivotal information that I am absolutely compelled to share. So every Tuesday at 2, we will release a new episode showing how the industry operates, how we find the deals, package the information, and offer it to our investors, and how so many investors are achieving goals of financial freedom and becoming more of who they want to be. We want to help you work less and make more by pivoting to prosperity. Hello, hello. Jenny Bowling here with Pivot to Prosperity, brought to you by Pivotal Real Estate Investments. And today we have Jonathan Way here. Thank you for coming, Jonathan. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jenny.
I am going to read your bio and then you can tell us what it doesn't say between the lines, okay?
Okay.
Jonathan started in residential real estate in 2003 and discovered his passion in real estate. In 2018, he expanded to commercial real estate and founded Greystone Capital Group, which specializes in multifamily and self-storage facilities. He has over 2,300 units and $100 million in his real estate portfolio. Jonathan is also a mentor and podcast host of a show called Building Wealth Through Commercial Real Estate. Very good. Now, there's a lot more that goes into Jonathan that I just heard. So why don't you tell the audience a little more about you?
Oh, great. Wonderful. Sure. Yes. A little about myself. I was born at a time when the Vietnam War has just ended. So it was a very turbulent times. And there was a lot of chaos in the streets. The currency was devalued because the North Vietnamese Ho Chi Minh took over the Saigon. And so everything was converted to really to gold because that's something that holds its weight in value. And I remember my dad, who was a dentist, used to make gold and hide it in our shoes, put it in our teeth or somewhere to hide gold so we don't get taken away by the communist regime, who would just used to come in and take my dad and beat him up all day long and rob him and left him for nothing. Because their theory was that that's Ho Chi Minh's government money and not your money, because there's no democracy in Saigon no more. So because of that, atrocities and abuse in war and really war crimes, we decided to flee Vietnam to seek for a better life, for freedom that we can live again under democracy. So we fled by bribing some smugglers out. And we tried multiple times. The first time we did not make it. We were caught by the government, and I was put in jail. I was on like maybe one or 2 years old. I was put in jail actually with my father, and we had nothing really much to eat. Basically, like a small bowl of vegetable once a day. So it was like I was too young to know the pains, but my dad knew it. So then my uncle helped bribe one of the guards to let us go. Then the second time we tried, we could not make it because the family got separated and the boat was could not make it to the destination. And the third time we tried, we finally made it and we finally got on the boat. And this boat was bullet hole ridden. It was a very old ship. And we were going halfway through the journey and then it started sinking. So, and then what happened was a small island called Hainan, fishermen started helping us, rescue us, so we don't dive or sink the ship like Titanic. So when we made there, there was not much food. We had no more money. We were just basically running empty on everything. And the ship was in disrepair. So they started fixing the ship. And during that time, it was 1 month in that small island. We were like refugees. And then once the boat was fixed, the captain said, "I want more money," but we had no more money. So he just dumped us there and went back to Vietnam. And then one volunteer said, I will drive the boat even though I'm not really experienced. But we had no map. So he told one guy, "I want you to swim for hours and come back and see what's down there." So after half a day, he came back. He said, "Oh, that's Hong Kong." He's in Hong Kong. We have to go to Hong Kong. That's the only our way to freedom. So we got in a boat with very little gas, with nothing, just a hope and a dream. And we went straight down there, and then as soon as we saw Hong Kong, people started jumping out of the boat and started swimming toward the shore. And then the Hong Kong police said, "You cannot come in here because you're not authorized to come in." And at that time, it was like 1979, 1979, and I think one of the admirals, the British admiral, said, "We'll welcome them in as refugees." So thank God we got our chance to live in Hong Kong, made it to at least freedom, which is temporary, like a temporary refugee camp. And then we got sponsored into New Jersey, 1980, with my uncle's help, who came here first. And we stayed in St. Joseph Parish Church, a small rent control, very small apartment for like $3 a month. I think it was rent. Don't know how to pay. I think it was free for like 1 year. And after that, after they got a job, it was like $250 a month for rent for a family of five people. So it was really generous of them.
It was how much?
$250 a month for rent that time in
I got it.
1980
Yeah.
for a small little, very small apartment. Not definitely not classy. Right, that kind of thing. That
Yeah.
classy neighborhood, right? This is not class A. So you're looking at. So we guess how we got a beginning. We got New Jersey, and we grew our roots. So we worked really hard, and I studied real hard. Became an accountant and a CPA. And then I worked really hard to climb the ladder, the corporate ladder, which is just, you gotta play the game, you gotta, and work really hard. And I got into the top spot. Ultimately, after like 5 years, I became the tax executive and the head of tax. And I started working for another like maybe 10, 15 years. And I realized this is not what I was dreaming of when I was young. This is not the life I want to live. And I realized I only have one life to live, so I have to make the most of it. So what I realized, well, I did some soul searching, and I asked myself, Jonathan, I said, "What do I want to do?" And I asked my wife, "What are we doing here? Why are you not happy? Why I'm not happy? Why is most people in America not happy? Most people in their jobs are not happy. They're like me, basically. They're working 9 to 5 jobs, or 9 to 10 now these days, and they're just not happy." So I realized, you know what? I have to quit my job. And I hired a mentor, and he showed me how to get into a multifamily syndication and how to build my own business, from scratch. And that's how I, in 2018, I started create this firm called Greystone Capital Group to really scale and achieve financial freedom for myself and my family, to live the life that I can for my daughter and for my family. So that's what I did. And I left my job last 2022, which is like almost 2 years ago, and that's where I'm at now.
That's a phenomenal story. Oh my gosh. And it would be awesome to add pictures to that to show where you came from, actually, as you're describing this kind of thing, because
Yes.
that's like really extraordinary, your background.
Yes.
Thank you
Thank
for
you.
sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you've been a CPA for how long then?
I say probably, I started my career in 1990. I say in 2000 or so. I say 20. I say over 20 years, at least over 20 years as a CPA,
Okay.
corporate CPA. Not a not a public. Not I'm not. I don't do for individuals. I do for a company, large companies.
Yeah, not just large companies, but tell them who you work for there. You were explaining to me before we started recording, it's not just any large company, it was a lender, a bank, right?
Oh yeah. These were top investment banks, stuff that you go to Yale and Harvard for to get a very prestigious degree in finance or in business or accountancy or economics. I work for large investment banks. I mean, these are European banks, well-known banks that you probably heard of, like Credit Suisse and SocGen and UniCredit. So these are very well-established firms that I was able to, luckily in my career, get a foot in the door, prove myself. And then become really a tax executive at the end of the day, and managing very large groups in the Americas, so North America, Canada, U.S., and South America was my region to oversee, provide, get tax guidance, become a think tank, give guidance on legislation from Washington, D.C., be part of these groups, masterminds, and also lead in institutions, because there were very challenging times from Dodd-Frank to FATCA to a lot of legislation that was really, really a eye-opener in tax world, because we've never seen that pendulum swing so significantly from, ever since from the time. So that's why it was very a challenging time.
I was an appraiser and engaged in real estate most specifically through all those years, and I can only imagine, you were probably struggling to keep up with all the new legislation like I was too. There was a lot
Yes.
to digest over, especially the 90s and 80s.
Yes.
But
Yes.
yeah, so that's fantastic. So does that mean you graduated the top of your class, or how did you get that? That's a pretty esteemed position, I think.
I think it's also who you know and also luck. I graduated from Rutgers University with a decent GPA. Now, I wasn't definitely a scholar. I wasn't the magna cum laude as people expected. I was just an average person, but I think me, my personality, being very honest, being had a lot of integrity, holding to the deadlines, working on the weekends, they saw that I was a reliable person who can they can depend on to manage and get things done. So they'd rather have someone who they can rely on, and not someone who is very very smart or smart, but they can't get the job done. So they want some practicality and someone who's can really trust. So at the end, they said, we'll give it to Jonathan. He can run the business. He does it very well. And he can save us millions of dollars in tax planning. So let's give it to Jonathan. He can do the job, basically.
Great, great. Well,
Right.
and that's a terrific background to bring into real estate, obviously. And so tell us about your first deal.
My first deal, my first multifamily deal was in 2019 when I bought Ridgewood Village, which they 56 unit plus one office building, multifamily in Moore, Oklahoma, which is like 3 hours north where I live. I started in the market because the price point was very reasonable, and I got an off-market deal from my relationship with one of the brokers. And it underwritten very well. And at the time, we had great loan to value because it was very low rates at the time. It was like 4% or something at the time. And so we decided to do my first deal, send an LOI. I was a little nervous, but my mentor told me, yeah, I guess do it. So I did it. And then got under contract. We did the due diligence, and then we closed on the property. So I was very happy about that first deal.
That's great. That's great. And that was in 2019. Okay. And
Yes.
then have you closed anything recently?
Yes, the last closing we did was build to rent, which is a 94 unit in Columbus, Ohio, and that was our $18 million. I'm very happy and proud of that deal.
And a BTR is a build to rent. You said 94 units. Okay. Did you end up incorporating any kind of the ESG movement that's going on now, or have you really thought about getting into that at all?
Yeah, what our strategy was, it was similar to a multifamily because this was new. It was like existing built to rent. It's not the new
Oh, okay.
development. So
Right.
what we did was we bought it, we were value adding it, and it's doing very well. We're like 90% occupied, 92% occupied now. Rent is on a happy where we could manager, and we're running almost like a multifamily, how we run multifamily, basically.
Okay. And now, the way you run multifamily, do you hire local management, or do you have your own management, or how do you do that?
Yeah, so property manager, we have a very strong local team in Dallas that we hire, and we work with them as a partners. And we make sure that we oversee them. We have weekly asset management calls. And I tour it personally myself and my team. We do it like around once or twice a week. We go there, we talk to the manager, we make sure things are running smoothly, make sure our tenants are happy, and ensuring that we have happy tenants and all the workers being taken up in a timely manner. And we have a very nice on-site person who was being very friendly and being courteous to our tenants.
Good, good. Okay. And so your Dallas team goes to wherever the asset is, or they oversee remotely with
They
local folks, or what?
go to where is in Texas. They drive there and they do a, what we call a on-site visit. And then we also have weekly Zoom calls with the manager who's in charge of that region to make sure that it hits our KPIs. So our list will be like, what's the occupancy? What's the new leads? Where are the sources coming from? Is it being effectively spent on the advertising dollars? What sources? What's the reason for slower demand this month? How do we increase it? How do we minimize expenses? So stuff like that. We go through like a weekly checklist called KPIs to ensure that every week we're on top of it as well.
Right. Okay. And we're sharing your screen. Do you have a particular property you want to show us on the screen too?
Sure. I mean, I can show you the latest one that we acquired. This is the one called Traditions at Slate Ridge. It's in Columbus, Ohio. Intel is building a new chip plant because under the current government, we are trying to expand our chip manufacturing from away from China and Asia, so be self-reliant in domestic manufacturing. So we have a lot of incentive to build in homeland of America. So one of the regions is Columbus, Ohio,
Yeah, I
and we
like
like that
Columbus.
market.
Yeah.
So it's a very good market. Rents are increasing. So we acquired this beautiful built to rent, built Class A, built in like two, into 2000s. So it's very nice.
Great, great. Okay. Now, as far as where you see yourself going in the next, say, 5 years, what's your vision?
Yeah, my vision, I have very exciting plans for this year. This year, we're building a multifamily fund, $20, $30 million. It's the Greystone Multifamily Income Fund. It's for accredited investors only, and it's be focusing on my home state, the Lone Star State. So we target the I-35 corridor from Dallas, Fort Worth, to Austin, to San Antonio, and the secondary market. So yeah, Waco, you have some other strong markets coming forth, like New Braunfels, St. Marcos, which will ultimately become one metroplex of the Austin and San Antonio markets. So since I live here, I know the dynamics, and that's why we're focusing more on that. And we're also focusing on Phoenix, which I love because it's another growth area where I have a team that lives there and be my eyes and ears. And Phoenix has Taiwan Semiconductor, which is one of the largest investments. I think it's like $30 billion, which is really large. And it also has Lucid Air. It has numerous companies coming in. And because of that, we also targeting Phoenix as a multifamily market as well.
Gotcha. Okay. And when you get involved, when you get an asset that you want to look at, are you the underwriter since your background is CPA, or is your team, how do you do your logistics?
Right. So we have a quote we call a 4-point internal check. So first my team who underwrites it, who is an actuarist, help me underwrite the deal. Then my other team member will also check it. And then I check it. And then my mentor, who is my key principal, will check it as well. So that's a and after we have a property manager will check it as well. So we have a 4-point check. So it'd be internally my team. Then it'll be me. Then be my mentor or key principal. And then it will be the property manager. So we have a 4-point check system to ensure that it's very conservative, and we always under promise but over deliver. That's our model.
So the deals that you've already completed, how many have you finished full cycle?
We finished three full cycle, and very happy to announce that we have way exceeded our investors' projections.
Congratulations.
And our average annual return we projected was 17%. We did around 34% in like 2 years and a half. Our projection was around 5 years, but we did it in half the time. And we almost doubled, more than doubled the money in half the time in
And
that
of course,
regard.
with that, we do need to announce past performance is not an indicator of future performance. But yes, that's phenomenal. That's a great track record, and I congratulate you.
Thank you.
So, also, I did not get to warn you, but as we're winding up here, one of the questions I ask all guests, since the company name for me is Pivotal Real Estate Investments, is what is a pivotal person or event that made a huge difference in your life. And we'll come back to that. I'm just putting that out there for a second. But let me ask you, as we're wrapping it up here, as your vision going forward, this fund that you're talking about, what kinds of investments are you going to be getting into there?
It'd be focused solely on multifamily. And in 2024, we see a window opportunity that's rare. We're going to see distressed assets coming because of these bridge debts that in the past years, they took aggressive positions. Whether you're a new operator or even experienced, you may took aggressive positions where you did not expect, and no one expected this black swan where the Federal Reserve increased it 18 months or straightforward to increase it so many, I think 11 times the interest rates, which is very unprecedented in any history that we looked at in our lifetime. So certainly my lifetime, your lifetime, we never seen that happen, which caught them off guard and doing a adjustable rate bridge debt, which maybe had a cap rate on it, but that either expire or be go expiring. And the risk premium on that exponentially increased. So now they're in a dilemma. The dilemma is, can I pay that cap? If they cannot pay the cap, then unfortunately, the lender may want to take back and foreclose on the property. So we see a window opportunity now for us to have this fund and capitalize on those discounts so we can do our value add plan and then execute in 3 to 5 years, basically.
Right, right. And that's, yes, exactly what I've been saying too. Yes, I fully expect there to be many more opportunities over the next couple of years for just that reason. And those of us that stay very tuned in to the economic environment are pretty much all saying that. So we're trying to gather our resources. And I think that people will want to follow you. So I'm going to have you tell everybody how to get in touch with you, but only after you tell us. What is a pivotal person or event that made a big difference in your life?
Yes, the person who made big one in my life was my mentor, Drew Whitson, and also Michael Blanc, because I'm also like a mentor in his program, but I feel that they changed my life in teaching me how operate syndication and how to become an operator, a great operator, conservative underwriting. And the principle they follow is basically, we want to help create freedom, because my goal is I want to help freedom to anyone who helps me in my circle and help them create freedom to life, live an abundant lifestyle, have a fulfilling life, and make a difference to others and help others. And that's kind of the goal that I'm trying to, my message trying to go bring across, basically.
And we didn't really touch on, you quit working full time in 2022, right?
Yes, correct.
And that was
correct.
Because of these multiple income streams you built. Is that it?
Yes, I was able to achieve financial freedom through multifamily because I acquired numerous assets. Now I'm up to 12, I think, 10 or 11, 12. And basically, I bought numerous assets. I could live on the passive income. And also, we also sold some, so we had a lot of significant gains from that, from income as well. And every year, I was continuing to acquire these assets will have more passive income. And some of them are infinite returns, like self-storage I have is infinite returns. So we just refinance, hold it for long-term as well.
So explain how it could be that.
So investors, I show them a deck and I say, here's my vision. And in certain really good asset classes and good areas, we might just hold it, buy it, and in a few years, after a value add, refinance, get the majority of the return of capital back, and just hold it long-term for passive cash flow or legacy holding.
And that's considered infinite returns, right?
Yes, okay. Infinite returns,
Just want to be sure that we clarify that, because you never know who the listeners are. Very good, yeah. Very good. All right, well, so if someone wants to follow you or get in touch, go ahead and announce how they might be able to do that.
Sure. So one of the ways is to go to my website, graystonecapgroup.com. That's GRESTONECAP group.com. On there, you're going to see a booking link to connect with me through Calendly. I also have resources if you're new to passive investing, the complete guide how to passively invest, investment fundamentals course and a DD checklist on how we look at our assets like multifamily and self-storage. So you can check those resources, free resources you download, and book a time in calendar. I'd love to talk to you.
Very good. Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us.
Thank you very much, Jenny. I appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Pivot to Prosperity and found it informative, thought-provoking, maybe even pivotal. If you did, please subscribe, leave us a review. Your feedback means a lot to us and helps others discover the podcast. And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram to find updated information about episodes, current events, and whatnot. Thank you again for being part of our podcast community. And remember, if you want to know when an investment opportunity is available, we need to have a conversation. So sign up in the show notes below or at pivotalrealestateinvestments.com. Thank you.